The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello, and welcome to Grace in Focus. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. We're taking questions from listeners just like you. You can reach us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Today's question is as follows. What is the meaning of believe in Him in John 3:16? That's an important question, and Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are about to tackle it. Here's our discussion for today. This is Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome back to the show, to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Oh, hi, Sean Lazar.
No,
I'm Bob Wilkerstalker.
Wildcan. I'm not sure. I'm teaching Scout. I'm amazed. Okay, so my Scout is my kid. She's not a genius. I'm not saying she's a genius, okay? But I'm amazed. I really appreciate the school they're going to. We have totally neglected Scout's education, I have to say.
She's with what, Daphne, five?
Yeah, she's five. With Daphne, we were like, I was just worrying about everything. I taught her, like, you know, the ABCs from, like, when she was, like, 1 or 2 years old.
Yeah.
And pointing out letters and really intense about it. With Zane, we kind of slacked off a bit, but we still did do a lot of reading with him. But with Scout, nothing. Nothing. She entered kindergarten.
What's a book?
She didn't know her ABCs. She didn't know anything. And then last night, she was reading a book to me after just 2.5 months. And she's learned her letters at this school, and she's reading. And I'm just amazed by it. And I don't know why I'm mentioning this. She struggles with pronunciation. That's the thing. You know, she's learning pronunciation. So
she says wabbit instead of
yeah,
rabbit.
She does stuff like that.
Well, my mom had a theory on that. I went to first grade, and I hadn't been taught how to read. I don't even know if I knew my letters or not. But I quickly, like Scout, caught up.
Right.
And my mother's theory was you do better with immersion rather than getting a graduate. Now, I think it works both ways, but
yeah.
I think it'd be advantage for the child to get in there early.
Well, see, what I figured was, I'm just not going to worry about it. I was really hyper worried about it. And I was like, I'm not going to worry about this third child. They figure it out. You know, she's going to learn eventually by grade 2 or 3. You know, that's kind of what I figured. And
she learned within a few days of kindergarten.
I wasn't neglecting her. It was just like, you just kind of cool off.
By the way, Sharon told me now she goes by Ava instead of Scout.
She insisted. She said, I want everyone to call me Ava. You guys can call me Scout, but I want the people at school to call me Ava. So I was like, okay. That's her first name. Scout's her middle name. So she's kind of, you know, asserting her identity. Wow, we're just enthralling the listeners with these talks. Okay, this is a question from Vincent. And this just shows, I mean, our ministry, I mean, we have to promote the promise. We're here to promote the promise of everlasting life. And although you, the listener, you've heard this a million times and we've told people a million times, lots of people, there are literally billions of people in the world who all have the same question and they're hearing about the promise of everlasting life for the first time.
Right.
Okay. And so Vincent is one of those people. And he says, my question is about John 3:16. What does it mean to believe in him? I struggle with this question for a long time. I think it means to trust him because pistuo also means to trust. I think this translation makes more sense than to be persuaded because it's hard to be persuaded in somebody. But is it possible to trust in somebody? Well, what do we have to say about that? I think I know the answer, but how would you approach it?
Well, first of all, in John 3:16, you're believing in someone for something.
Right.
So when you believe in Jesus, this isn't just some kind of generic persuasion. I'm persuaded that he lives. I'm persuaded that he died on the cross.
Right.
I'm persuaded that he rose from the dead. It's a specific belief in him for something.
It's a persuasion about a promise.
And what's the promise in John 3:16?
And so the promise is, if you believe, if you meet this condition, then you will have everlasting life and you'll never perish.
Right. So if you say, I believe in Jesus and I don't know where I'm going when I die, then you show you don't believe in him in the sense that the Lord Jesus is talking about in John 3:16. And this trust element is exceedingly confusing.
People make it confusing, but it's actually so simple.
Okay, give it to him.
To trust in Jesus in this is not something other than persuasion. It just means you believe he's going to keep his promise.
Okay, if trust means that, that's all
it means. But that's not what people mean by it. People mean like, okay, trusting must mean you get into the wheelbarrow or you actually get onto the airplane or you actually do, you know, they mean all kinds of weird things about it.
You commit yourself to follow him or you commit to obey him or something.
But here's just a simple account of trust. Jesus says he's going to do this for you and you trust what he says. You're persuaded that his promise is true. You know, it would be weird in English to say, you know, I trust that Canada is north of Mexico. Okay, that's a weird use of trust. No, that's either true or not. It's like you usually don't trust that. You're just persuaded that it's true.
Right.
But I think there is a colloquial use of trust that's like, okay, when someone makes you a promise and it's not like evident in front of you, it's not evident to your senses or anything, but you're persuaded that the person is going to keep their promise. That's kind of trusting the person to keep their promise.
Yeah. Well, look at it this way. Let's say, I guess during the campaign for presidency, Joe Biden had promised that if he was elected, he would make sure that everyone received so much money in stimulus checks.
Okay.
And he was going to add together what President Trump had given, and I can't remember. I think the number was $2,000 per person.
Yeah.
And I think under President Trump, most of it had already been given. So if you believed in Joe Biden in that sense, in that promise, then you would be convinced that you were going to get that $600 stimulus check.
Yeah, you're persuaded that he would do what he said he'd do.
Right. Now, it wouldn't mean that you believed he was the greatest president ever. It wouldn't mean that you believe that, you know, he's always going to make the right decisions or that when we withdraw from Afghanistan that it's going to be done well. All it means is you're believing in him for something specific.
Right, for that thing that's under discussion there.
And that's what John 3:16 is about. And by the way, that runs all through the New Testament. All through John's Gospel and all through the New Testament, we believe in him for everlasting life. 1 Timothy 1:16.
Yeah.
Or Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. You're believing in him for this salvation.
Right. Yeah, like trusting is not something other than being persuaded. It's usually just being persuaded about someone's character. Like Sharon, your wife Sharon babysits our kids, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes. And we trust Sharon in the sense that what I believe is the proposition, Sharon is not going to neglect my kids.
Right.
You know, I believe the proposition, my kids are safe with Sharon. That's what it means to trust in a person. Like if my car or the AC is broken right now, I'm going to bring it to the mechanic. I'm going to trust my mechanic to fix the car. What that means is I believe my mechanic is competent. I believe my mechanic can do this.
Okay, but there is one difference, and that is when we believe in an infallible person, the Lord Jesus Christ, when we trust an infallible person, the Lord Jesus Christ, we know we have what we've believed in him for. Whereas when you trust in the mechanic, you don't know for sure that he's going to do an infallible job on your car.
No, but you can still be, I mean, it could turn out, you could turn out to be wrong. But, you know, I believe my mechanic can fix it.
Right.
But it might turn out to be that I'm wrong later
but,
on.
But when it's...
But I'm not uncertain about
but
it.
But when the person we're believing is the Lord Jesus Christ...
Yeah.
Well, then we know we have what we believe in him for because he's completely trustworthy. Not just kind of.
Sure.
I mean, let's say your mechanic does a good job 99 times out of 100.
Yeah.
Well, hey, that's great. But the Lord Jesus does what he says 100 times out of 100.
Right, sure. But you're still persuaded.
Right.
It's not, you're not saying that there's different percentages of persuasion here.
Well, what I am saying is in English, the word believe sometimes takes on a sense of hope almost. Like, I believe the Cowboys are going to win on Sunday.
Right.
I believe that in 2022, the House will flip and it will go from control from one party to the other party.
Okay.
Well, I'm not persuaded that that's true. I simply think that's likely to happen.
Oh, so you're saying sometimes in English when we use a belief,
right,
we're contrasting it with knowledge.
Right. Sometimes something we believe is more like something we hope comes true,
right,
or we think might come true.
Right.
But then when I say 2 plus 2, I believe 2 plus 2 is 4.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's not, I think that might be true. I'm sure it's true.
Yeah.
When I say I believe that Joe Biden is president, right. I know that's true.
Right. And so when the Bible talks about belief, it's talking about this, you're certain, you either believe it's
right.
true or not
right.
type of way. So it moves away from the way belief sometimes is used in English as something less than certain.
Right. When I say I believe Jesus was born in Bethlehem, I'm convinced he was born in Bethlehem.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
not like, well, maybe he was born in Bethlehem, but maybe he was born in Detroit.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, right.
Was that a good joke? Not
sure,
really.
Sure, sure.
No.
Was that a joke?
Yeah, that was a
I
joke.
I thought it was kind of an amusing comment. Yeah. There was no punchline there, but okay.
Okay, the punchline was Detroit.
Detroit has suffered enough.
Okay,
it doesn't need
I'm
to be
sorry.
A punchline, really.
I'm sorry, no. I love Detroit. If you're listening from Detroit, we're so glad you're listening.
In 2008, I remember my friend Vahag was calling me up and saying, Sean, we need to buy it. Look, there's some mansions in Detroit for sale for like $100 or $1,000 or whatever. Remember in 2008 yeah. when all the bad stuff was really happening and the market just crashed?
And you didn't buy any?
I didn't buy any because I don't, you know, I can't fix anything. I am not handy at all. If I bought a wreck of a house, it would get even worse.
My scariest horror movie is The Money Pit with Tom Hanks. And
oh, it's a real movie?
It was a real movie.
Okay.
You didn't see it. No,
no,
it was horrible. We may have to do foundation work, and I had a guy come out yesterday and tell us it was going to cost a fortune, and I'm like, please, give me another bit.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, the doctor says, you're
so
overweight, and they say, I wanted a second opinion.
Right.
He says, you're ugly, too.
So you. So what you're saying is you didn't trust your foundation guy.
Not yet.
not yet.
I mean, he may have gotten the right diagnosis, but his price seems inflated.
You're not persuaded that
yeah, I'm not persuaded
has the right
he's
answer.
Giving me a good price.
But by contrast, we know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're persuaded
Amen.
Of his promise.
Amen.
And I hope you are too, Vincent, because once you get away from faith is persuasion, you just get into the murky waters of who knows what faith is. I don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know. So you never know if you've actually done what's required of you to be born again. That's what we're trying to fight against. We want people to have certainty by simply believing in Jesus for what he promises. Well, thanks for the question, and we'll see you guys later.
Peace out.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.